Morning. Many of you knew Tom Woody. Some of you have don't know him, didn't know him. The evangelist that just passed away last week from cancer at 58 years old. I don't know how many of you know that Tom was a very good runner, as I understand it. When he was in high school and in school years, Tom was superb at running. And he could have turned pro. Could have gone pro and been very successful at that. But he chose not to take that path and chose to become an evangelist instead. But he was still a runner. A runner in a race like no other race he had ever ran. He was running the race that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul is telling us that our Christian life is like a race. It is like a race, running a race. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. What kind of a race is the Christian life? Well, I think the Christian life is a lot like a cross-country race. It's a lot like a cross-country race. You have flat stretches. That's a tree, by the way. Not a person. You have flat stretches where it's nice and pleasant. You have hills where it's a strain. You have marshes that bog you down. That water that you have to cross. All aimed at eternal life. And just like in a cross-country race, the race is ran with confidence that there actually is a finish. And that there is a prize at the other end, because in a cross-country race, you can't see the other end. You're taking it on faith that the person said that when you go 2.3 miles, you will find the finish line. Much like our eternal life, our Christian walk. Now, the Christian life is not the only race available to enter. There are other races that a person could choose to be in that are not about following Christ. They look more like this. Those are stars, by the way. In that race, it's about competition. It's about one winning by others losing. The reward is a temporary and decaying reward. The rewards may come along, but they are short-lasting and temporary. And they're going nowhere. So let's look closer at Paul's analogy in 1 Corinthians 9, and let me read 24 through 27 again. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as that one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now the Christian life is not a race with one winner. Christian life is not like that. It's not like a race in that sense, where there's just one winner. But Paul is saying the Christian life, the Christian path is not a race as in that sense. But the Christian path is like a race in how you run. It's about how you will run. And he says to run as if there were only one prize. Run as if there was only one prize. So the point is how you run. Paul is saying run with all you have. Run as if only one could receive the prize. With that kind of intensity, with that kind of determination, with that kind of drive, you must run that way. Paul also says that this running requires some self-restraint. I don't know how many of you have seen it. I think the movie just came out, but McFarland USA is a new movie that came out based on a true story. Extremely good movie. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. Extremely good movie. It's talking about cross-country racing. But when you're running cross-country racing, you do not want to allow anything else to be in your way. You don't want to allow any distractions to deter you from the race. You've got to pay attention. You don't want any extra baggage that you have to drag around behind you. You want to be light and free to move as you need to. No backpacks loaded with weights. Romans 13, starting in verse 11, Paul says, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Now, that doesn't mean you aren't to take care of yourself. Part of these troubles that we have, part of the struggles that we have in this cross-country race, is because we've taken detours. We get up here and we're hitting mountains. Well, that wasn't on the path. Or we get over here and we're maybe hitting the marshes because we're off the path. Running requires self-restraint, self-discipline, to keep your focus on where it is you're going and make sure you're not carrying anything extra with you. There are no U-Hauls on this run. It's just you. As Job says, naked you came in and naked you're going out. There's nothing you can take with you that's going to last besides you. This run is also a run of certainty, because Paul says, "I run not as one who is uncertain." Certain of the goal that he is headed for. And he's given the instructions to follow the path. And you and I are given the instructions to follow the path. God has given us the path. It has mountains on it sometimes, it has marshes on it sometimes, it has troubles on it sometimes, but God has given you the instructions and given you the map of the path of the race. He's given it to you, and he's told you what you get at the other end. So do you run uncertainly? This is running uncertainly. You don't know where you're going. You don't know why you're doing what you're doing. You don't know what the purpose of all of it is. And as I had a teenager tell me this week, "I don't know if there's a God," which makes me wonder if I should keep trying. We run with certainty. Certainty because we've been given the path and we've been told the goal. Paul goes on to tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, or is God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God gives us instructions. His scriptures gives us the path. All things that pertain to life and godliness. For instruction. They're inspired by God. Peter affirms it again in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting verses 1 through 8, where it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained the like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has used his divine power to give you the instructions, to give you the directions, and he's used his divine power to set up the goal. Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's created the goal, and he's given you path. So we run with certainty. We run with certainty on this path. The question is, how do we run the path? Do we stay certain of that? Paul says, run with all diligence, with all eagerness, with all earnestness. This is important. This is urgent. Run with faith and virtue. Virtue is kind of like faith in action. Faith carried out with excellence. Run with knowledge. Seek to know the path. Run with temperance, self-control, keeping yourself in line with the path. Run with patience. You can't see the prize yet, but you must wait while continuing on the path, and wait with patience. The only time you have patience is when you have hope of not having to have patience. When you get to the point where you don't need patience anymore. You're impatient when you don't see it ever ending. You're patient when you're pretty sure it's coming. When you're pretty sure the prize is coming. He says, run with godliness. Paul tells Timothy, if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. So we are run with godliness. Because we cannot get the prize unless we follow the path. And run with brotherly kindness and brotherly love. The Christian life is not a race about outrunning someone else. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 12, Paul says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and to not boast in any another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. The Christian race The cross-country race is not about being ahead or being behind another person who might beat you to the prize. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 11, it says, I am become a fool in glorying. As Paul is describing this, he's having to defend himself as an apostle. He says, I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing, I want you to listen close to this, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Now Paul's describing his place in this race, in this run. Paul says, I'm even with the chiefest apostles, but I'm nothing. So even if a person outruns everybody else in this race, they're nothing. They're still nothing. This is not about outrunning somebody else. This race is not about running certain of your strength. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, again, verses just ahead of that, 9 and 10. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. This is after Paul has asked for removal of the thorn in the flesh, so that he could serve God better. And God's response is, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Running this race is about being weak and letting God be the strength. It's not about being strong enough. It's not about exercising enough, building up enough muscle to keep running. It's about not having enough muscle ever, unless God gives you the strength. This race is not one that's ran with a certainty that I'll never fall, I'll never veer off. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, Paul warns them, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Paul was not running certainly because he thought he could never fall. He wasn't running certainly because of his own amazing ability. In Romans 7, starting in verse 21, Paul says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This is not a race we run with certainty because we're never going to fall. We run this race certain that we will. Over and over and over. By the time we get to here, or maybe even here, we're a mess on our own. We are not running certain of our own ability. Jeremiah 10 and 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Even with the instructions, left to ourselves, we would have no idea of what direction to go. And if you want proof of that, just watch people who don't know anything about this path. They have no idea where they're going. They have no idea what the point of going is. We do not run with certainty because we can no longer be tempted to stray from the path. In fact, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5, starting in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Oh. Now we got lions. Somebody forgot to clear the path for this cross-country race. No. This cross-country race has lions along the way. We're to resist the devil, but the devil doesn't go away and stay away, does he? God says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How long? Because it doesn't seem to me he runs very far. It seems to me he's back shortly. About the time I start celebrating the victory, he's back. He's right there, back at me. Romans 3 and 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if this race is not about beating someone else to the prize, it's not about our strength, it's not about our confidence and our knowledge and wisdom, it's not about our ability to run perfectly, then what is it about? Let's look a little further in those three passages I just read earlier. In Romans chapter 7, after Paul declares, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He states this, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Who shall save me? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We reach the goal and receive the promised prize of running the race because Jesus Christ is our Lord. How do we not break down here, or here, or here, or anywhere along here? How do we not break down and become a mess? It's because of God and His grace towards us, His mercy towards us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, after Peter warns us to be sober and vigilant and resist the devil, and tells us there will be afflictions and troubles, he says in verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called unto us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. The God of all grace will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And in Romans chapter 3, after Paul tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, he says in 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Whose grace? Justified by whose grace? Win the race by whose grace? My grace? My redemption? No. By God's grace in giving us Christ for a redemption. See, all these times that I've fallen off the path, veered from the path, without Christ's blood on the cross, there would be no path back. We would be out of the race. We'd be lost. Romans 3, starting with, pick up in 24 again. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing he is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. This is a run. This is a run of faith. A run of trust in a finishing line and a prize that you can't see yet. Much like cross-country racing. Faith in a path that's been drawn out for you and a reward promised to you. Faith that path will lead to where you want to go. You will receive the prize when you get there. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You've got to believe that God is, and that the path he gave you is from him. And after you believe that, you have to believe that he'll reward you if you diligently seek him. If you don't have those two, then there's no sense running this path. None whatsoever. This is a run of faith designed by a faithful God. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." It's a run of faith designed by a God who is faithful. It is a run of hope. As I alluded to before, Romans 8, starting in verse 24, says, "We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, what did he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." This is a run of hope. A run of hope designed by a God of hope. Paul says in Romans 15:13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." It's a run of faith, it's a run of hope, it's a run of certainty because of the path that God has given to us. But all this talk about the run, what about the finish line? If you notice, I didn't write one. So what about the finish line? Well, Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1, says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Listen to this. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." The author of this race is Jesus. The author of this race is Jesus. The path of the Christian life was bought and was created and was paved with the blood of Jesus. To provide us a path to the prize. To provide us a path to eternal life with him. He wrote the directions in his own blood. He is the author. He's also the finisher. It does no good for us to have faith in the course if we can't finish the course. You know, what if I have faith in this course and my life ends there? Or what if I have faith in the course and I get to here and life ends there? We slip, we fall, we fail. But by Jesus sacrificing himself on the cross, giving his blood to pay for us to have a way back onto the course, by us responding to that sacrifice and accepting the path to re-enter, because it's only coming through the cross, by accepting the path to re-enter, by repenting and receiving forgiveness, Jesus finishes the race. Jesus finishes the race that we cannot. As Christ hung on the cross, just before he died, what did he say? "It's finished." It's finished. What's finished? Well, his race was finished, but ours was too. For we're more than conquerors. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What does Paul mean? I finished my course. I kept the faith. This run is about finishing our life in the path of faith. Whether it's here, or whether it's here, or whether it's clear back here, the point of this run is to finish in the path. The point is to finish in the path of faith. Your course is going to be different length than mine. Your course is going to look different than mine. The point is not to run to the end. The point is to run. Remember, Paul says in Romans 3 that it was not about boasting that we finished. It is not that we are justified by the works of the law, but by faith. But at the end of all that, Paul points out an important part of this run. It's in Romans chapter 3, at the end of that, verse 31. And he says, "Do we then make void the law through faith?" If this run is about faith, well, okay, I believe that God is. I believe he's gone to heaven to create heaven for me. I believe he'll save me. Why run? If it's about faith. What does that mean about our run? What that means about our run is we don't have a course by ourselves to follow. We can't run the course perfectly. Alone, we can't get back to the course once we've slipped and have lost it. All of these things, the course, the strength, the ability to return after falling off, are all given to us by God if we trust Him. We are saved by faith. We are saved by that faith. But if you believe that God is and that He is a rewarder of those who have faith, who believe, does that save you? You believe that God is, you believe that God is a rewarder. You believe that, does that save you? No. No. James 2 and 19 says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." So you've only come up to the level of a devil when you believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. But that didn't save you. The race is not just about believing. It's about believing that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. A rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. This Christian race, this Christian life, is a race that's based on faith, but you still have to run. Philippians 2:12 says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." You still have to run. You will never deserve eternal life at the end of your run, but you still have to run. By the fact that you are breathing means that you have to run. Life on this earth is always moving. If you think about it, when God created all of creation, there isn't an ounce of it that's sitting still. From the down to the smallest atom and the components in the atom, nothing is sitting still. Everything is moving. You don't have a choice. You have to run. The starting line for your race was at the point where your life began. The starting line for the race of your Christian life started when you repented and were baptized to wash away your sins and rose to a new path. From that point on, you must run until there is no life left in you. Revelations 2 and 10 tells us, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." You do not have a choice about running. that what path you choose to run, how you choose to run, whether you will have help to run it, is up to you. If you reject Christ's path paved with his blood, then it doesn't matter really what other path you choose, because they're all going the same place. Eternal damnation in hell. So what other path you might choose, it doesn't make any difference really. Doesn't make any difference how strong you are. Doesn't make any difference how smart you are. Doesn't make any difference how wise you are. Doesn't make any difference how long you live. Doesn't make any difference how many troubles you have. They go the same path. If you're here this morning, you are running a race. The question is, will it be a rat race where you're trying to go in circles like the rats in the maze, seeking some smell? If you want to be certain of your path, going towards eternal life in heaven with God, you need to accept Christ's sacrifice for your sins. Repent of those sins and allow God to wash those sins away, as he promised he would when you are buried with him in baptism. Then you arise to a new path to eternal life, a new path that you will never finish on your own, a new path that you can't stay on very well even. But God keeps making the bridges. Christ keeps paying for the path back to him. If you've started the race of following Christ and have failed and sinned, the beauty of this race is that Christ is the finisher, not you. Because of Christ's blood shed for your sins, you can repent of your sins, and God will forgive you and cleanse you and set you back on the path. And Christ's blood makes up the difference. Christ's sacrifice finishes our race for us so that we can receive the crown. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you, not you have earned, I will give you a crown of life. His invitation is to us. The choice is ours, how we will run, as we offer the invitation.